Amen. You may be seated. So we didn't get a chance, as we did last Sunday, to throw a bunch of socks at the preacher. We had kicked off, what was it called? Sock It To Me Sunday. And I've had that conversation with some of our worship folks. I hope that's something we can do more often, because I saw a lot of joy and spontaneity last Sunday. So hopefully we'll have different things maybe once a month, something similar to where we're doing something good for others and also having a lot of fun with it. It was also the beginning of our series called Dinner with Jesus. I'm going to keep talking as we get the microphone situation straight and the sound system. So there's just really something about meals. We've got a chili cook-off today. We've got the sweetheart dinner coming up in about, 3 weeks, I guess, something like that, 3 or 4 weeks. We've just come out of a Christmas, wonderful Christmas, which I'm sure we've all had some wonderful meals. And it's just winter must be the time to eat. I know I put on a lot of pounds in the winter. But it's not really, dinner isn't always about food or getting enough calories to keep you going through the day. But something about when I eat, I eat. But when I have dinner, I have dinner. You know what I mean? When I have dinner, I'm sitting with someone and there's more going on than the consumption of edibles. There is conversation and there is probably transformation if we're talking about anything other than the weather or sports. Because we begin to get to know one another better, even if it's someone you've known for most of your life, dinner has a way of bringing that out. So the series is Dinner with Jesus, Transformational Table Talks from the Book of Luke. For some reason, Luke must have really liked food. He's supposed to have been a doctor, but he has more meals with Jesus in his gospel than all the rest of them. Last week, we took a look at a meal from chapter 6 where Jesus and his disciples had this fast food meal, you know, as they were going through their Sabbath afternoon. This week we jump to chapter 9, and we've got a meal here that Jesus shares with his disciples, but it's way different. I believe that we could properly quantify, if this existed back in his day, as the Guinness Book of World Record largest potluck dinner ever in the scripture from chapter 9 that you just heard Stephen read. So, but as we set the scene for this passage and what is it that God might want to tell us today about this, try to put yourself in the shoes of Jesus and his disciples. Okay, it's hard to put yourself in Jesus' shoes, so just his disciples, okay? These are those who have given up everything and followed Jesus. They've been with him for some time, and their day is just to simply wake up wherever they are and go to work with Jesus. Their office is no one place. It's wherever Jesus takes them. And here, as we see in the very first part of this passage, Jesus says, hey, guys, they were all guys, but maybe they're, you know, we know there were plenty of female disciples. This is the 12. I need to get away. Let's have some private time together. Imagine what it must have been like to follow this itinerating preacher all around as he goes, hey, let's go here in ministry. Let's go there in ministry. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. You can just follow along. Yes, Jesus, let's go. He says, let's get out of here. Let's go somewhere a little more private. I want some quality time with you. Now, if you have a special someone in your life, doesn't that just perk you up to hear that someone say, hey, we need some quality time. I haven't had that in a long time. Don't you want that? And you get kind of excited about that, whether it be a parent or a spouse or a child. We need to spend some time together. They've been in ministry with Jesus. They've seen what he's been doing. They have heard what they have witnessed what he has done, and they had heard what he has taught. And I imagine they've got lots of questions, but they're always so busy helping Jesus do what Jesus does. They're going to enjoy this time uninterrupted. So he takes them to Bethsaida, very small town, kind of very rural, kind of like a little retreat getaway. Only the scripture says that maybe just as they really get into it really good, they're sitting around the town square and they're really having some good conversation. Maybe they're having a late breakfast. I don't know. All of a sudden, some people start trickling into town. See, the crowds that have been following Jesus figured out where he was going and have followed him. They come with their sick and they come with their questions and they come with all these needs, and the disciples are probably going like, can't they just leave us alone for one day? Can't we have a break? Even Jesus said, let's get away. So they looked at Jesus, going like, look, see those people coming? It's time to like hide our heads. Quick, duck behind the palm tree. Quick, let's go in the back of that store. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus welcomes them, it says, and he teaches them, and he heals their sick. Just another day in the office with Jesus. Now, for our retired ministers and those of you who truly have a job or a vocation that you consider a Christian vocation, where you can be a Christian first and an auto mechanic or an administrator or whatever second, you know that sometimes interruptions come in your day. And that when those interruptions come, I've been taught to say, hey, those are opportunities for ministry. Look, I got my day planned out sometimes. And I know there's plenty of ministry in my day. Sometimes someone walks into the office or someone calls or this thing happens and you respond. And I've been to all of the, look, I've been to more time management classes than I could count. And they all say somewhere early in their time, you alone are in charge of your time. No one can choose for you what to do. Only you can choose to do whatever you do. And somehow those well-made plans get interrupted, and there we go. But there is ministry in these interruptions, and that's exactly what we find Jesus doing. They get so busy doing ministry again that they work all day long. Here comes somebody with their cousin who needs healing, and the disciples pray with them, and Jesus heals the one who was brought for healing. And Jesus teaches for a while, and the disciples are all handing out the handouts and running the PowerPoint and doing all the stuff that they do in the background. And they're learning and they're ministering, and the day goes by, and it's evening, supper time, it's dinner time, and they're tired. And they didn't get that break with Jesus that they wanted. So here comes the transformational talk around the table. They say, hey, Jesus, day's almost over. Send the crowd away, Jesus, so they can go out in the nearby villages and countryside. They can find lodging. They need food. Look, we're in a deserted place. Send them out, Jesus. They came for you. They won't listen to us. Send them away. In other words, Jesus, we're tired. Please, can we get some rest? Jesus, instead of doing what his disciples said, you give them something to eat. Now, put yourself in their position. Me, later on as you read, there's 5,000 men there, plus the women, plus the children. Me, us, there's only 12 of us. What is he doing? What is he doing now? You give them something to eat is the conversation. Now, I can see kind of in my mind's eye what they're doing. They're kind of huddled together. And you know, back then most people wore some kind of pouch or even carried a little small basket that they kept their stuff in. Kind of like, an Old Testament fanny pack, I guess. And, you know, I'm sure there were people there, including disciples, who had, you know, a little bit of spare change and, you know, maybe another pair of socks because they traveled a lot, and probably, if you're depending on where you're from, maybe a can of Spam and crackers if you're from Eastern North Carolina. Or maybe you have some caviar and Perrier water, I don't know, something in there. And they're looking in and they say, but Jesus, we just did a quick poll amongst us and we got like a little bit of fish, a little bit of bread. Not enough for all those folks. And Jesus finishes that transformational conversation by saying, we'll seat them in groups of about 50 each. Sometimes when we do our best and we're trying to respond to Jesus' call, he says, do something out of the ordinary. Do something that makes no sense. And we say, well, Jesus, I'll do, I guess, what you say, but look, this really makes no sense. And Jesus will usually say, well, follow through like this. And he did, and they did. And then this transforming action begins to happen to where they did that, had the people seated, and Jesus took those five loaves and two fish. He looked up to heaven, blessed that bit of food, gave it to the disciples, who then placed it in front of each one of those groups of people. And the scripture says, and everyone was filled. And not only were they filled, but there was food left over. There were 12 baskets that each one of the disciples was able to gather another basket of food left over. Now, when I see this transformational action, ever since I was a child and sat in Sunday school and listened to sermons and as an adult, even as a preacher, I would say this shows the power of God, the compassion of God. And all this is true, by the way. This is one of the primary ways of understanding the impact of this passage, that God cares enough not just for the spiritual but for the physical, and saw these people in need and said, hey, the disciples need to learn a lesson, the people need to learn a lesson, but most of all, they're hungry. And I, the Son of God, have the power to feed them. So it's a lesson about Jesus' compassion and God's care as much as it is God's ability to bend the laws of physics and nature, take enough for one meal and make it enough for 5,000 plus. And it's a matter of faith in sharing what we have with God. And that's the way I have preached it many times before. But a friend of mine, Reverend Harry Spear, who's retired, preached this passage one time, and I heard him, and it was a new interpretation for me. Might be for you, maybe. But he says, maybe everybody had one of those little pouches and baskets, all 5,000 of them, all 5,013 of them. And when they saw the disciples wandering and reaching and coalescing their meager fare and giving it to Jesus, and they saw Jesus blessing it and crazily setting it out in front of these large groups of people, maybe they began to get the idea and the very power that emanated from Jesus and his faith and his charisma and his miracle-working ability begin to change hearts. See, when it comes to time and resources, we're the only one really in control of those things. And in my ministry, there are times when I feel like I have hit a wall. And I go like, I can't help that person anymore. I've helped them as much as I physically can. There's just nothing else me or the church can do anymore. Or I can't give to that cause. I've given to all these other causes. I've done. Or I've got this resource and it's running out. I just don't know what I'm going to do about that. That's it. You know, that's my limit. I've shared. And I'm not going to share anymore. I'm going to take my toys home and play with them all by myself. In your life, I'm sure you are generous. The people of grace are quite generous. And in your life, there are times when you might go, well, you know, I don't have enough to fix this problem. Even if we add our stuff together, that's not enough to fix this problem. So I'll just keep it in my pocket. I'll spend that time doing something I really enjoy. They were at that limit. And what God did is all those people might have had a little bit of something in their pouch. Certainly not a whole lot, some more than others. But they saw what was going on and they got involved. They took their little bit and they said, let me add it to that. And hey, neighbor, you need some of this. You need some of this. And there's a little basket up there with a tiny little crumb of food in it. But let's grab a little of that and share it. Make sure everybody's got enough in our group of 50. And as they began to do that, all of a sudden, their resistance to sharing with others became nil, and they shared quite freely. It was enough for all, and all were fulfilled. I remember Harry Spear saying this many years ago. He said, so what do you think is the greater miracle, folks? For Jesus to bend the laws of physics and nature, or to melt 5,000 hearts in one instant? I said, wow. He convinced me that might be the greater miracle. And so this was the world's biggest potluck, I think. Jesus changing these hearts of everyone who might have had a little bit held back in order to share with others. Now, I know Grace to be a very sharing congregation. We are able to do things financially that a lot of other Methodist churches, and I'm not sure about others, I don't get a chance to talk to other denominational preachers very much, but we're fairly sound financially. We share well. But most of all, it has to do with the heart and the giving of time and talent. We had more talk about Vacation Bible School last year. We had more volunteers than we had children. We had a whole bunch of children. Is that amazing or what? That's people saying, I got a little bit, I'll share it. And I think lives were changed during Vacation Bible School. When it came time for hurricane relief and we got word that there was a lot of flood buckets needed, remember that? Chuck Root was in charge of the outreach committee in 2017, Reverend Chuck Root. And so Chuck emails me. He pushes me a lot. Did you know how? He's not here. I'm going to talk about it. He pushes me a lot. He would say, Pastor, we need to set a goal for flood buckets, don't we? I said, no, I don't think so. We'll just whatever we get, you know? Potluck, just whatever we get. By the way, potluck is exactly what it is, you know? We served the church one time, and Paula Steele can remember it with sadness. The potlucks were so structured and organized and certain. If your last name ended in something, you had to bring a certain something, and you had to tell them what you're bringing because we wanted to make sure that we had a well-rounded meal. Okay, I'm sorry, that's not the way potluck works, is it? You bring what you got. So here we are trying to get figure out our goal for the number of flood buckets, and I realized they're really expensive to put together. All those parts are really expensive. I said, no, I don't think we need to. He says, Hank, we need to set a goal. People need a goal. Okay, little mental math. All right, 15. Oh, we can do better than that. Okay, 18. He said, how about 20? I said, ooh. You think so, Chuck? Think we can do it? He says, I know we can. I said, all right. Okay, Chuck, 20. We got 25 flood buckets. And we came together after a big worship service, came back that night, and it took like 20 minutes to put them together. So many people turned out. So many people had them organized and ready. It took nothing to do that. We have generosity and sharing in our DNA at Grace. I love that. I also know that sometimes we have a limit. So what I want to encourage you to do is do what you're doing and keep sharing of your time and your talent and your resources. Know that God has given each of us everything we need to do everything that God expects of us and wants us to do right now. We don't have to wait until this happens or we get this. Everything we need for our mission is within this congregation right now. The talents, the spiritual gifts that you have, the resources that we have. And the thing is simply to go look at how large the mission is of making disciples for Jesus Christ in this day and this time and in this place. And if you notice, the end of the mission says to transform the world. Say, all we have to do is make these things available. As God calls them, we make them available. So my challenge to you is to, next time you feel that tension that I may have described, when I go like, I thought I've given all I can in this area or done all I can in this area, look around before you take your toys home and play with them all by yourself. And see if there aren't maybe 12, maybe not that many, but a number of other disciples connected to this problem, working on this problem. And then decide together to just give what we got, whatever that is, and say, God, take care of it. We're going to share what we have. And I think by either one of those miracles that Jesus, as we understand it, turned a few loaves of bread and fish into enough for 5,000, God will do that for us in fulfilling our mission. The book of Ephesians in chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 tell us that we have all of our stuff, all of our gifts, all of our resources, spiritual gifts, everything for building up the body of Christ and for serving others. I should never want to really take all my toys home and play with them all by myself. It's not why I have those toys. I have those toys so that we can play together. Let the kingdom grow.